بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله بنعمته تتم الصالحات الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافي مزيدا والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So we'll continue with Abu Bakr's address رضي الله عنه. So he says, أيها الناس قد وليت عليكم ولست بخيركم فإن أحسنت فعينوني وإن أسأت فقوموني الصدق إمانة الصدق إمانة أمانة والكذب خيانة. So we've attained to this part والصدق أمانة. The صدق, or we can translate it as honesty, we can translate it in some context as sincerity, and we'll come back to its linguistic meaning. Or no, as-sidq fi lughat al-arabiyya ma'nahu al-quwwa. Sidq is linguistic meaning al-quwwa was-sulb, is strength and firmness. Al-arab taqul رمحٌ صدقٌ رمحٌ صدقٌ. So a firm, strong spear, for by way of example, one that's not flimsy, not easily broken. So this is the linguistic meaning of honesty. So a person who is truthful or honest has a strong foundation in reality because their speech is consistent with reality, whereas a person who is lying has a weak foundation because their speech is inconsistent with reality. And usually a person who is honest has a strong personality, and a person who is weak dishonest has a weak personality. So that's the linguistic meaning of sidq. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala reminds us, all of us as believers, and this is implicitly one of the messages that Abu Bakr, as the leader of this fledgling Muslim polity, is sending. Namely, that I want all of you to join me in a condition where we can be truthful with each other. So he says, right after we mention, if I do well, assist me. فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَعَيْنُونِي. Assist me to be better. And if I err, straighten me out. وَإِنْ أَسَتْتُ فَقَوِّمُونِي. If I err, straighten me out. So he's involving popular or the involvement of the generality of the people, what we refer to now as the general public, in his rule. And so right after that, what does he say? As-sidqu amana. Truthfulness is a trust. So in other words, all of us are coming together on a foundation of truth to build a strong political entity. So all of us are coming together on this foundation of truthfulness to assist each other So when he says, فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَأَعِينُونِي, this is an articulation of the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. So cooperate with each other. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, and righteousness and God consciousness. And Abu Bakr is saying, let's come together. I have my part to play, فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ أَنَا, and you have your part to play, فَأَعِنُونِي أَنْتُمْ. So I have my part to play, you have your part to play. And part of what we need to come together to accomplish is to establish a foundation on truthfulness. To establish a foundation on truthfulness. So that, we mentioned linguistically, as-sidq, al-quwwa, was-sulb. So that the state that we're establishing will be strong. And it's strong through our mutual support of each other. Rulers supporting the ruled, and the ruled supporting the rulers together. So this is his starting point. Allah Ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, it's also urging us towards coming together on the foundation of truth. So he encourages us to participate and help each other. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَأَعِينُونِي. So cooperate, assist each other in righteousness and God consciousness. If I do well, assist me. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, and don't cooperate in sin and rebellion. فَإِنْ أَسَدْتُ فَقَوِّمُونِي. So if I err, don't help me in my error. Don't help me in my strain. Straighten me out. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran commands us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. O you who believe, be mindful of Allah. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and keep yourself in the presence of the truthful. Be amongst the truthful. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, be amongst the truthful. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is reminding all of the people who are coming together to form this political entity that its foundation has to be one of truthfulness. It has to be one of truthfulness. So Allah is making this clear in the Quran. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and keep yourselves, be rather, literally, be amongst the truthful. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, be amongst the truthful. So الْمَرْءُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. A person is on the religion of their companion. Let each and every one of you consider well the company he or she keeps. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, keep the company of the truthful. So this collectivity that's being established, it's a group reality. And that's affirmed by Abu Bakr's words, radiallahu anhu, as-sidqu amana. Truthfulness is a trust. It's a trust immediately that implies more than one person. So Abu Bakr isn't saying, I should be truthful. He's saying, we should be truthful. When he mentions as-sidqu amana. So the amana implies a trust that's owed to others. So there has to be an other here. And the other is the rulers, the ruled rather. They have a trust that they owe to the rulers to obey them in righteousness. And the rulers have a trust that they owe to the ruled to lead them in truthfulness and sincerity. So there's mutuality. So Everything so far he's mentioned, it implies mutuality. Ayyuhannas, so is the people. Ayyuhannas, O people. لَقَدْ وُلِيتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ I've been placed over you, so there's a relationship. Myself, between myself and all of you. لَقَدْ وُلِيتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ While I'm not the best of you, so I'm one of you. فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَعَيْنُونِي If I do well, cooperate, help me to do better. So myself and yourselves. And it's a relationship that implies reciprocity. It's not just coming from me. So nowadays, most of our Muslim rulers, everything comes from me. So I'm the grand Puba. I give the orders. You listen to me. Right? I determine the which way we're going to go. You follow me. I make all the decisions, you affirm the decisions. Rubber stamp the decisions. Abu Bakr saying, no, we are in this together. There's reciprocity. Why? Because there's a trust of being truthful and honest and sincere with each other that we owe to each other. So Allah Ta'ala tells us to be amongst those who are truthful. We should seek out truthful company. We should seek out truthful, honest teachers for our children. We should, and what does honesty in teaching about? Convey with truthfulness and sincerity the trust that's owed to those children. If we're teaching and we can no longer, we don't have the energy, we don't have the focus or the desire to give 110%, it's time to stop teaching. Why? Because there's a trust that's owed to that student. They get the very best of instruction. The very best. And as a society, we see it all around us. We failed in that trust. So when our children, we can't say, oh, all of these people, they're voting for Trump, they're supporting Trump. Where did they come from? They came from no civics being taught in our classrooms. They came from nurturing a culture of vulgarity and indecency in our political discourse. Consciously nurtured. Allahumma salli rasulina, I'm thinking about documentary about how this happened, but the name escapes me right now. In any case, who allowed for talk radio and all of the polarizing, indecent, uncivil political discourse that we hear on talk radio? So a person who's absorbing that and they become a bigoted, racist, narrow-minded person, there's a collective societal responsibility. It falls on us as a society. And to change it, it falls on us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ Allah does not change that which is with the people until they change themselves. Or they change that which is with themselves. So we all have a responsibility. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْعُولٌ عَنْ رَاعِيَتِهِ All of you are shepherds and all of you will be asked concerning your flock. All of your stewards, you will be asked concerning your wards, those under your authority. The Prophet ﷺ, again, as in to give us insight into why as-sidqu, honesty, is important as a foundational social and political virtue, the Prophet reminds us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, as-sidqu, inna as-sidqa, yahdi ila al-bir, wa inna al-birra, yahdi إلى الجنة وإن الرجل لا يصدق حتى يكتب عند الله صديقا. That truthfulness leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to paradise. And a person continues to speak truthfully until they're ridden with Allah as one who's exceedingly truthful. So حَتَّى يُكْتَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَا قَالَ صَادِقًا. He didn't say just truthful. حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ صِدِّيقًا. It's an emphatic form, until he's written with Allah as one exceedingly truthful. Why? He continues and continues and continues until the truthfulness in the character is reaffirmed through trial and experience. And the nature of truthfulness is that it has to be constant reaffirmed. We just say, don't say in one situation where you could have told a lie, you didn't lie, so now you're truthful. No, that's just one situation. In that instance, you were truthful. But to be described as truthful in terms of that being a character trait that you're known for, that has to be reaffirmed and reaffirmed and reaffirmed until it's not only something people say or mention with their tongues, is something that's internalized into your being. As Imam Ghazali mentioned, al-ilm bit-ta'allum. Knowledge comes through the process of studying. So no one studies a subject one day and they're called an alim, right or wrong. They study years and years. So هو يتعلم ويتعلم 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 until knowledge becomes intrinsic as part of their being. والحلم بالتحلم. And forbearance comes through forbearing. So one just doesn't forbear one slight or insult. Oh, you're such a knucklehead. And they just, mashallah. One time. The next time, they're like, knucklehead. I'll give you a knucklehead. Give you some knuckles upside your head. So that first instance, they were halim. The second instance, not so much. So again, وَالْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمْ. They forbear until not only one observing them from outside says, you know what, that's a forbearing person, mashallah. But until forbearance has become ingrained into the very depth and to the very core of their being, and now they're truly haleem. Now they're truly haleem. And so honesty, truthfulness is the same thing. One of the indications of that, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the trials that we undergo. And it's very important for us to understand that's the nature of our world. Like, what half of being resilient is to be prepared for what will come your way. Because if you're prepared for something, it's easier to deal with it. So if you know someone's waiting and they're going to waylay you with, they're just going to clobber you with their fist. If you're unsuspecting, boosh, you're probably going to get knocked out. But if you're prepared and you're bracing yourself, you're steeling yourself, yeah, I know it's coming, you're braced and you can take the blow. Boosh. Wasn't too bad, because you were prepared for it. And so sometimes we're not prepared for the tests that life presents us. We don't brace ourselves for the tests that life presents us. So we get waylaid. So Allah Ta'ala mentions amongst the tests of life, Alif Lam Mim. حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Do people think they'll be left alone merely saying we believe? And يُتْرُكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا أَمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ, and then they are not tested. So some people think this life is free of tests. And when they're tested, their wills come off. Why me? Because you're a human being living in the dunya. That's why you. Say, why me? This test should have befallen someone else. They have their own share of tests. Don't worry about that. This is yours. And so Allah asks, do people think they'll be left alone merely saying we believe? Oh, we believe, we believe, we believe, we believe, we believe, and a mu'min, and a mu'min, and a mu'min, and a mu'min. And not be tested, وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. While we have tested those who preceded them. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مَنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Why? فَلِيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا, in order that Allah would show which of them are truthful. وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ, and to show which of them are liars. So we're being tested to affirm our truthfulness. Amongst other things, we read the Qur'an. So we're reading Qur'an, we get to a verse, قُلْ إِن كَانَ قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Say verily, my prayer. So we're reading, we say, قُلْ. Say. The order immediately is to our messenger and our master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it's indirectly addressing us. So Allah says, say, قُلْ, and we say it. إِنَّ الصَّلَاتِ, verily my prayer. وَنُسُكِي, and my sacrifice. وَمِحْيَايَ, and my living. وَمَمَاتِي, and my dying. لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, is all for Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. La sharika lah. He has no partners. I'm not making myself a partner with Allah. Allah has no partners. Wa bi dhalika umirt. And with that I've been ordered or commanded. Wa ana awwalul muslimin. And I'm the first to submit as a Muslim. We say it, are we truthful? So this is where our truthfulness is tested. That's just one example. Our truthfulness is tested. Now, when Allah said, or, and to show which of them are liars. The point here, truthfulness, صَدَقُوا, فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Allah Ta'ala mentions the verb. وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Whereas lying, and to show which of them are lying, Allah mentions the active participle, ismi fa'il, kadibin. What is the difference? The difference is that the verb al-fi'il yufid at-tajaddud. The verb conveys the meaning of multiplicity. So in other words, the truthfulness has to be affirmed time after time. Maybe every day, 10, 20, 30, 40 times, right? We're asked something by the children, asked something by our parents, we're talking on the phone. Now we're talking hours on the time. The cell phone has brought great good. We can communicate, keep up with our children, be in direct contact, not worrying where they are, and just call them up. Where are you? Someplace I shouldn't be. What is that? No, you're really worried. See, you wish for the old days there were no cell phones. Then you just simply worry. Now you're really worried because they told you there's someplace I shouldn't be. I don't know. No. But there's great good. So, communications, we can communicate, we can do business, we can wait. But think how much the cell phone has multiplied our hisab. Because we're taking account for every word we speak. We used to go for a drive in the car because there's no phone, no one could reach us. Now we're riding in the car Every minute in the car, every revolution of the tire. Yak, 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 yak. Yak, 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 yak. We'd never stop yakking because we have the cell phone. Think of how the Hisab has multiplied. Because every one of those words, has it been truthful? Think of the opportunities, the expanded opportunities to lie because of that device. We used to talk on the phone 20 minutes a day. Now we talk on the phone 20 hours a day out of 24. So we're tested for our truthfulness. فَلِيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا So Allah, He tests us. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ Do people think they'll be left alone merely saying we believe and not be tested? And this is very, very critically important for us to understand, brothers and sisters. Because there's this idea of the test-free, stress-free religion. And if it's got test or if it involves some stress, then it can't be from God and there's no way we'll be blessed. Because God is nice. God would never test us. God is love and kind and merciful. Well, sometimes that mercy and that love is manifested through a test. Because Allah Ta'ala wants to elevate us. But no. So there's a test, this can't be from God, or else God is mean, and who wants a meany religion? So I'm out, I'm going to go join the Buddhists. They have a nice religion, test-free, just meditate all day. So no, being tested is part of our religion. And why does Allah do it? Amongst other reasons, so do people think they'll be left alone merely saying we believe and not be tested when we have tested those who preceded them. This is nothing new. Like people now, they think it's so bad in America, it's so bad. We got Trump and oh, it's so bad. Then Hillary, she might be even worse than Trump. Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. I mean, you're not supposed to say that. I'm not. Anyway. Oh, so bad. What do you want? You want the Great Depression? It was a lot worse than now. You want the Second World War? You want food rationing? You want Jim Crow? How about slavery? How about the Civil War? You know, that was extremely bloody. If it were fought today, 30 million Americans would die, based on the number that died then and the base population. 30 million Americans would die if the Civil War were fought today. So almost the whole state of California, everybody in the state of California, gone. You want that? So, trials, tribulations, nothing new. It's nothing new. So what does Allah say? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ We tested those who preceded you. And then why? فَلِيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا In order that Allah would show which of them are truthful. فَلِيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ And which of them are liars. That's why He does it. So are we true? We say the things we say in terms of our commitment and what we're willing to sacrifice. And I wish I was with the Sahaba. SubhanAllah. If we were with the Sahaba, we might be amongst the hypocrites. Wallahu a'lam. Iyyaka Allah. May Allah spare us. Because the hypocrites, they never miss Fajr. They just drag themselves to the masjid. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا So they just came out, dragged themselves, they're always in the last row. I'm not saying if you're always in the last row, you're a hypocrite. I'm talking about them.
Talking about them.
The last row, they're the ones standing up to finish their prayer. They barely made it on time. They're not thinking about a lot, thinking, well, why did you decide to do Baccarat this morning? Their watches, well, they didn't have watches. Looking at their Flintstone sundials. It was Fajr, they didn't have sun. You get the idea. We don't know. The hypocrites didn't miss Salat, some of us miss Salat. So, this is our time. Take advantage of the time, affirm and establish your truthfulness and your sincerity now. Don't wish for another time. Because those people had their tests. And most of them had tests far worse than anything we're enduring right now. So Allah is reminding us, it's nothing new. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ We've tested those who preceded them. فَلِيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ In order that Allah will show which of them are truthful and which of them are liars. That's why we're tested. No test, there's no affirmation. And Allah knows best, but He shows it to us. He shows us who we are. He shows us who we are. And that can be very traumatic. As there was a popular song that said, the whole world is a masquerade. And sometimes we get caught up in the masquerade. And when we pull the mask off, sometimes we don't like what we see. Islam will pull the mask off of you. Islam will pull the mask off of us. Islam does not allow you to fake it. Khalas. And Allah Ta'ala will show which of us are truthful and which of us are liars. And then He says, وَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَفْجُرُ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا And the person, so, ask Afan, وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَكْذِبَ حَتَّى لَيَكْذِبُ حَتَّى يُكْتَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا Lying leads to perversity, and perversity leads to the hellfire. And a person continues to lie until they're recorded with Allah as a great liar. So it was Musaylima. What was Musaylima? Musaylima al-Kadhib or Musaylima al-Kadhab? Al-Kadhab, the great liar, not the Kadhib. And so Allah says, وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَكْذِبَ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا Until they're recorded with Allah as being a great liar. Who wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And they're known as a great liar. سيد المهدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله رب هذه الدعوة تم وصلت القائلة آتي سيدنا محمد وسيدة والفريدة وضعت مقام محمد النبي وعدت صلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. لا إله إلا الله. Sincerity is the heart of our spiritual path. And all of us should see ourselves on a path to Allah, because that's the reality associated with our life in this world. We're all on a path to Allah. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَارِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَرْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. Oh, you human, you're toiling and struggling to reach your Lord, and you will reach Him. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Those who struggle for our sake, we guide them in our paths, and the paths that lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the paths that lead to Jannah. So we're all, مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ أَحَبُّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ. One who loves and longs to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet them. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفُعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On the day, no amount of wealth or children will be of any benefit. The only one benefited that day will be one who comes before Allah. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Rather we acknowledge it or not, brothers and sisters, we are heading for a meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we prepare for that meeting or not, it is the most important meeting of our, not life or existence. Because it transcends this life. And it moves into the realm of the next life. And that's all part of our existence. We were around since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extracted us from the loins of Adam, or from Adam's children, everyone that will be descended from them, our souls, and asked us, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ وَاشْهَدُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. So when Allah أخذ من بني آدم من ظهورهم ذريتهم وأشهدهم على أنفسهم. When we extracted the souls of all the progeny of Adam and we called them to witness against themselves, وأشهدهم على أنفسهم ألست بربكم. Am I not your Lord? قالوا بلى شهدنا. They said, certainly we bear witness. That's the beginning of the journey of our souls. And then our souls are united with our bodies in this world. And then our souls are separated from our bodies. And then our bodies and souls are resurrected. And then we stand before our Lord. And we have the most important meeting of our lives. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. As for the one who fears the time they will stand before their Lord. وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And they prepare for the meeting by denying their souls the things it whimsically inclines for. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Paradise will be their final resting place. So this meeting, look how seriously we prepare for a meeting. If you had a meeting 10 o'clock tomorrow morning with your boss, and your job was on the line. After you left the masjid, you drive home really fast. I shouldn't have went to that lesson. That was an hour. And you stay up all night if you had to. Right or wrong. Make sure the PowerPoint is just right. Oh, that image doesn't look right. You're all over Google Images searching for the right image to drop into there. Make sure the text is just right. Ask someone to proofread. You don't want any typos. You're going to wear your best clothes. Your job's on the line. You're going to knock it off at 2 in the morning. You have to get some sleep so you're halfway fresh. You want to be before the boss and you're nodding off. So like 2 o'clock, I gotta get this done. 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, you're in the bed. You set your clock for 7:10 because Fajr goes out at 7:18. You gotta get up 7:10, make that quick wudu. Allahu Akbar. Then you gotta get in, drive to work, compose yourself, get that PowerPoint out, make sure it's all right, to prepare for the meeting with the boss. The boss is it. He might determine, she might determine your job. You could get a new job. You could get unemployment compensation. The meeting with Allah is a meeting to determine the fate of our soul for the rest of eternity. How much preparation is going into that meeting? This is something we should ask ourselves. Look how much preparation went into the meeting with the boss. Now we're going to meet the boss of all bosses. The big boss. No, the owner of the whole company. And all of the companies. And look how little time some of us use to prepare. And one of the best preparation is honesty, as-sidq. Imam Ahmad Zaruq, he said, the essence of the spiritual path, sidq al-tawajjuh ila Allah, orienting yourself towards Allah. That's the essence. Sidq al-tawajjuh ila Allah, truthfully orienting yourself towards Allah. That's the essence of the spiritual path. So it's about truthfulness. So Abu Bakr is trying to establish a political entity that's built on the foundation of mutual cooperation, mutual support, that's built on the foundation of humility, trusting that if we humble ourselves for the sake of Allah, Allah will elevate us. And he's trying to establish a political entity that's built on the foundation of truthfulness, with a strong foundation in reality. So this is the essence, and he reinforces all of that by reminding this is an amanah, this is a sacred trust that we owe to each other. And if we're not truthful, if we're insincere, then as he says, we betrayed one another. وَالْكَذِبُ خِيَانَ وَالْكَذِبُ خِيَانَ. Again, this is the foundation of the polity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's not, Abu Bakr's not in saying anything. Everything, as we've been pointing out each week, has its foundation in the Quran. He's just wording it a little differently. Truthfulness and its importance in terms of being the foundation of the community and the communal life. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه منهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا. Amongst the believers, there are strong individuals. So رجال is the plural of رجل. But here it could be men or women, just they're strong individuals. They are firm individuals, and that's truthfulness. We said al-kuwa, ma'nahu fil lugha, al-kuwa wa salb, strength and firmness. Minal mu'minina rijalun sadaqu ma ahadu Allah alayh, who are truthful in the covenant they've convened with Allah. They are truthful in the covenant they've convened with Allah. Minhum man qada nahba. Amongst them, there are those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. And amongst them, there are those who are waiting their turn. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And they've never changed in their conviction. So this is what it's all about, brothers and sisters. It's the willingness to give everything we have in sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to sacrifice everything we have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And That's what we're called to do. And some people are truthful in that. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عهد الله عليه. They're truthful in the covenant they've convened with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Abu Bakr is merely calling forth those qualities. As-sidq amana, as the foundation of the state that he's leading and guiding into and nurturing into existence. On the foundation that was laid by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we'll stop here. Any questions, comments, points of discussion? Yes, your turn.
Yeah, blessings. When they went to Yathrib, when the Prophet and the Muslims, peace be upon them, emigrated to Yathrib, there was a monk there who was considered to be one of the most religious people in that area. And he went to the Prophet to inquire about the new religion. And he said he was a person of Abraham, this monk. And he started telling the Prophet that the Prophet was a liar and the Prophet wasn't good. And he said that the Prophet was gonna die in exile and with few followers, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, and I was just mentioning this because you probably know the story better than me, but I just remember this because that was a time when the Prophet was being tested on his truthfulness, and the Prophet said, well, he's bringing this religion to something more pure and more clean. That's what he said, and the monk was telling him, no, you're a liar, you're not true to the religion, and he said, you're a liar, and you're gonna pass away, exiled from your people with like few followers. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, well, let the one who is a liar die in that way. And then later on, the monk's power started going down, and his followers started going down, and his son started following the Prophet, peace be upon him. And finally, he emigrated to Mecca. And it was like that prophecy fulfilled upon him. But you might not know more about that, and that might be pertinent to what we're talking about.
Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best. But obviously, the Prophet ﷺ didn't die in that way. So obviously, he was truthful, which is a condition of prophethood, is truthfulness in the, to the message. Allah knows best. Ma'am, yes, sir.
When you were discussing the meeting with the Creator, and you mentioned, you know, heaven and hell, I just had a small thought. Do those dwellers in the hellfire dwell there for all of eternity in punishment for their actions in a finite life?
Not the believer, no one with the smallest amount of faith in their hearts will remain forever in hell if they're punished there for their sins. And the Prophet ﷺ intercedes for multitudes of sinners to spare them the punishment of the hellfire and for others to have them brought out from hell. So, but no believer, if... Because Allah's mercy is expansive, but if they are punished for their sins and transgressions and their arrogant rejection of aspects of the truth, they will not remain in there forever. And once they come out, they'll have unimaginable joy. And there's the well-known story of the last person to be brought out of hell. And they'll have joys that are unimaginable. They'll appreciate it too. Sisters, any questions, comments? Brothers?
Okay. Eve, what about the disbelieving one?
One who disbelieves will remain in hell forever. And after the proof had been established against them. As for people ignorant or didn't know, then their fate is with Allah, Allah is Rahim. But those who consciously knew and consciously rejected the message and rebelled against the prophets, their fate is sealed. And everyone has every opportunity to follow the path of guidance. Yes?
I just have a question. As parents of teens, what advice do you have to best help them set standards for themselves of being sincere with themselves, first of all, and lead people up to truthfulness?
Number one, try to keep them around good company. People who are setting standards for themselves and people who are trying to accomplish something positive with their lives, to try to keep them around those people and as their friends as much as possible, to minimize, if you can, to eliminate altogether television from their lives, and which means active parenting, because one of the reasons that some parents love television is the ultimate babysitter. Just plop the baby in front of the television and then go and do whatever you want to do, whatever you feel like doing. And so a child grows up and then they're being programmed and programmed and programmed. So just eliminating that from their lives and getting them around, introducing them to the life of books. Actively involved, hiking with them, taking them to sports leagues and karate and Quran lessons and soccer, etc. So parenting is not a spectator sport. It's an active, and so even the teenagers, keeping them around good company, keeping them active and involved in physical activity. And then they come home between homework, between Quran, between karate, between soccer. They come home, boof, they're too tired to watch television or spend all night texting with their friends and getting into mischief. So just trying to keep them around good company. And moral, as we mentioned, a person's on the dean of their companion. Everyone consider well the company they keep and consider well the company they expose their children to. Allah Alam wa Mustan. So he just made the aqam. والصلاة والسلام عليك اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا قبلا خالصا لوجهك الكريم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين